This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Taking a look at your grain futures from Monday's close on the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn finished higher, with July finishing at 446 and three quarters, up 4.5. September corn finished at 451 and three quarters, up 4.25. And December corn finished at 457 and a quarter, up 3.75. Soybeans were also higher yesterday, with July finishing at 909, up 6.25. August beans finished at 914 and three quarters, also up 6.25. And September beans were to 920.5, up 5.75. Wheat was also higher yesterday. July finished at 538, up 12. September wheat was to 542.5, up 11.75. And December wheat finished at 552.5, up 11. Soybean meal was higher. July finished at 317.60, up 2. August bean meal finished at 318.90, up $1.90. And September bean meal was at 320.60, up $1.80. Finally, soybean oil that finished lower for July was to 28.35, down 9. August bean oil was lower as well to 28.48, down 9. And September bean oil was also lower to 28.59, down 10. Now we'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Monday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Monday afternoon. The crop progress report for Illinois, they reported corn planted 1 year ago, 100%. Last week, 88%. And today, 92% planted. Corn emerged a year ago at 100%. Last week, 74%. And today, they reported 84% corn emerged. Soybeans planted 100% a year ago. Last week at 70%. And today they reported 79% of the soybeans are planted. Soybeans emerged a year ago at 96%, last week at 58%, and today they reported 67% of the soybeans are emerged. U.S. corn planted a year ago 100%, last week at 92%, and today at 96% corn planted. Corn emerged U.S. at 100%, last week at 79%, and today corn emerged at 89%. Soybeans planted for U.S. 100%, last week 77%, and today 85% planted. Soybeans emerged at 1 year ago at 94%, last week at 55%, today soybeans emerged at 71%. Corn condition, Illinois 47% good to excellent, and U.S. at 77% good to excellent. Soybeans conditioned at 42% for Illinois, good to excellent, and the U.S. was 73% good to excellent. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 4 cents at 405 to 440. Soybean bids are 6 to 7, higher at 829 to 871. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 5 cents higher at 421 to 452. Soybean bids were mostly 6 cents higher at 862 to 894. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 5 cents higher at 411 to 467. Soybean bids were up 5 to 7 at 866 to 897. Wheat bids were 12 to 13 cents higher at 518 to 552. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were up 8 cents at 890 to 919. Basis is up 2 at 1900 to 10 over the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 307.60 to 320.60 a ton. Up $2 a ton, with basis unchanged at 10 under to 3 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 5 to 8 cents higher at 450 to 467, with basis steadied up 3 at 3 to 20 over the July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted difference in corn bids 6 to 13 cents higher at 430 to 452, with basis 1 up 1 to 8 at 17 under to 5 over the July. Soybeans ended up 6 cents at 882 to 887, with basis steady at 27 under to 22 under the July. New crop wheat prices were up 11 to 12 cents at 523 to 537, with basis unchanged to down 1 at 15 under to 1 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading tomatoes placed their producer corn bids 5 cents higher at 461 to 463. These elevators raised their soybean prices 6 cents, quotations at 909 to 914, So if we closed up 12 cents at 573 to 574, and Milo ended the day 5 cents higher at 471 to 472. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery. Corn in the northern part of the state at 408 to 437. Soybeans at 854 to 878. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 426 to 443. Soybeans at 870-903. In the southern part of the state, corn for October delivery at 413 to 452. Soybeans at 868 to 899. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle was mixed but mostly higher yesterday, with June finishing at 106.92, up 37. August live cattle were to 102.42, up 20. And October live cattle were lower to 104.02, down 12. Feeder cattle were lower. August finished at 131.77, down $1.90. September feeders were to 132.35, down $1.70. And October feeders were to 132.60, down $1.90. Lean hogs were also lower. July finished at 72.85, down 3.40. August lean hogs were to 74.22, down 3.67. And October hogs were to 69.05. down 367 as well. And now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield once more for yesterday's cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon livestock report. Starting at the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound Park Arcus traded 34 cents lower, in a range of 64 to 75.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 73.51. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price for 1 to 2 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 23 to 28, 4 to 5 weight at 25 to 30, 5 to 6 weight at 28 to 33, and over 600 pounds 30 to $36. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices are barrels and gilts. Country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $47 to $51. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled 16,250. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on a dress basis traded at 178. And choice heifers traded on a dress basis at 178 also. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with the light 282 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound Parker was 77.33, which is 60 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are 219.74, which is 8 cents lower, while select carcasses are 199.81, which is 26 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 121,000 compared to 120,000 last week and 116,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 448,000 compared to 467,000 last week and 434,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Taking a look at international ag news on this Tuesday morning, a Reuters report says China has banned direct and indirect imports of pigs, wild boars, and related products from Laos after the first outbreak of the African swine fever virus was found in that country. The Southeastern Asian nation reported the first outbreaks late last week. China's General Administrator of Customs says if illegally imported pigs, wild boars, and their products are intercepted by officials at the Chinese border, they'll be destroyed under the supervision of customs agents. The World Organization for Animal Health says Laos confirmed the first deadly outbreaks of African swine fever in a southern province. African swine fever is deadly to pigs but does not harm humans. Officials in Laos say seven separate outbreaks have led to the deaths of almost 1,000 animals. Thailand has officially joined China in banning imports from Laos. ASF has hit the entire country of China very hard. Officials report outbreaks in all of its mainland regions, as well as the Hainan Island and Hong Kong. The Chinese ASF outbreak was first reported back in August of 2018. In national ag news, President Trump says in a hopeful sign for renewed trade talks with China that he expects to meet with President Xi Jinping on a sideline of the G20 summit in Japan later this month. That's a positive sign for resuming and completing the stalled trade deal with China.
We expect to have a meeting with President Xi. We're doing very well with respect to China. We're taking in billions and billions of dollars, which we never took in before. The tariffs are been, you know, very strong. We have 25% of $250 billion. I have a feeling that we're going to make a deal with China, because I really don't believe that China wants to continue the problem that they really caused themselves.
The president says the stalled deal was mostly done when China backed out on things they'd already agreed to, adding he's ready to slap tariffs on the remaining $325 billion in Chinese imports if they do not make a deal. Trump also said Mexico must also make good on its word to beef up steps to combat illegal immigration to the U.S. from Central America.
If Mexico does a great job, then you're not going to have very many people coming up. If they don't, then we have phase two. Phase two is very tough, but I think they're going to do a good job.
Part of a one-page deal with Mexico that Trump waved before reporters outside the White House was captured on film and blown up by a Washington Post reporter. A paragraph said Mexico has 45 days to take strong action against migrant traffic. Trump suspended threatened 5% monthly tariffs for at least 5 months upon the deal that could have ended hopes for ratifying the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement worth an estimated $2.2 billion in new U.S. farm trade alone. In other national ag news, the pesticide industry is asking the Trump administration to exempt its chemical imports from China from the potential $300 billion in new 25% tariffs the president is threatening to impose next month on Chinese goods. CropLife America and a specialty chemical trade group filed comments with the U.S. Trade Representative's office. Those comments say the tariffs would hit a wide range of products that farmers rely on to do their jobs. Those products would include glyphosate, 2,4-D, atrazine, and dicamba. The group say many of the chemicals that would be subject to the proposal are just not available from American sources, and many others are not reasonably available from sources outside of China in the volumes we need and within a useful time period. An AgriPulse report says Chris Novak, president and CEO of CropLife America, was scheduled to speak on Monday during the USTR's sixth day of hearings on the list of products targeted for the Section 301 tariffs. Moving on to State of Illinois ag news, it's been a while, but barge traffic is now moving along the Mississippi. The waterway was shut down back on March 15th due to high water, and it's been a long, slow descent. But the threat of flooding is still not over, says Tom Heinold, chief of operations for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Rock Island District.
Not completely out of the woods yet. Usually June, unfortunately, is thunderstorm season in the upper Midwest here. And with the elevated river levels, if we do see some intense thunderstorms coming our way, we could be, you know, right back closed again. But right now, the most recent rains, all they've done is basically slow the rate of fall. They haven't actually caused the rivers to rise again.
As many Mississippi River reporting stations fall below flood stage, the Corps is now responding to the damages that the flooding has caused. Things like electrical systems and motors will have to be replaced at some locations. Moving on in state ag news, we have the latest crop progress and condition report for the state of Illinois released yesterday. For that, we join Mark Sloysener with the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
Illinois weather was cooler than normal last week and also a good deal wetter than average. Temperatures averaged 69.7 degrees across the prairie state, nearly 4 degrees below normal. Rainfall ranged from nearly 1 inch to more than 3 inches across the state. The overall average was 2.19 inches last week, which was more than 1 inch above normal. There was an average of only 2.2 days suitable for field work around Illinois last week. Topsoil moisture levels increased and are now rated 43% adequate and 57% surplus. Corn planting crept forward to 92% finished compared to 100% for the five-year average. 84% of corn acres have emerged compared to 100% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop declined a little and was now rated as 17% very poor to poor, 36% fair, and 47% good to excellent. Soybean planting is now 79% finished compared to 97% normally. 67% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 93% normally. The first condition for Illinois soybeans shows 18% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 40% fair, and 42% in good to excellent condition. Turning now to winter wheat. 15% of acres have been harvested compared to 61% 1 year ago and 47% normally. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop declined a little and was rated 26% very poor to poor, 47% fair, and 27% good to excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 78% finished compared to 94% normally. The second cutting of alfalfa hay is 3% finished compared to 18% normally. Other hay harvest is 68% finished compared to 89% normally. Pasture conditions were rated 7% very poor to poor, 24% fair, and 69% good to excellent, nearly unchanged from 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And with a local look at agronomy, Joe Huebner with CHS and Shipman gives us an update as farmers in the area with wheat acreage look to begin harvest soon.
The machinery that we have nowadays, a lot of people got a lot of stuff done in a short amount of time. And, you know, some more rain kind of held us up this past weekend, but we have a favorable outlook for our weather goes this week to where it would probably start leading into some wheat harvest in the area.
And then when we get into this wheat harvest and the possibility of double crop beans, you expect people to take advantage of that opportunity?
I do. And, you know, I think that the double crops will be a decent year, you know, as far as everything goes, as long as we're able to get them in. Some of the wheat, as far as that, you know, I say that they start down south, kind of in southern Illinois, and kind of along that lines, I know, just kind of driving around along the I-64 territory, but also know a few guys further north of that, and so it's definitely working its way up. I'd almost expect some guys to start rolling on that probably mid to late week, and then shortly to follow with some of those double crops coming in soon after that.
Are you expecting or have you heard any idea of what a yield would be? I know it's probably changed quite a bit with all the rain we've had, but have you heard anything on that?
I haven't heard any specific numbers or anything like that. Just that, you know, the moisture on a couple of the fields are still a little high. I think kind of the overall is just with all the rain and everything like that, if you're able to get fungicide on the wheat and kind of the quality is kind of, one that we're going to have to kind of be checking on, so to say, as fields in our area start coming along.
And when we take a look at pests, a lot of water this year and not a lot of an opportunity to get into the field, do you expect that on a corn standpoint and even beans as well, some fungicide issues?
You know, so with any kind of weather pattern, there's going to be some kind of, potential disease outbreak. It seems like for any kind of weather, whether it's hot and dry or cold and wet, we're going to have different diseases come into our territory. The most important thing still is going to be to scout and trust, you know, work with your local agronomist and keep an eye out on the fields. And then if you start seeing some signs and to help protect the investment that we already have out there, when, you know, we already have later planting than typical, it's going to be important to protect our investment with what we have out there. So I still suspect that some people will will be diligent on using a fungicide program come later season to be able to help, really maximize what kind of crop they have out there and go forth with their initial game plan.
Joe also talks about how CHS will be involved at this year's Macoupin County Fair in Carlinville.
CHS is big on helping support local communities, and part of that, especially with the fair season coming up, I know that the Macoupin County Fair is going on this week, and CHS will definitely have a presence there. Starting out there is the Macoupin County Truck and Tractor Pulls on the 28th, and CHS will kind of have a hospitality event there to be able to help, just serve some waters and stuff. That'll help everyone kind of stay hydrated, especially if it's going to be a little bit hotter, but also, have a spot for them to be able to sit and enjoy the fair.
And again, that was Joe Huebner with CHS in Shipman. And as Joe mentioned, the Macoupin County Fair begins this week. Starting today at 10 a.m., the Macoupin County Food Festival will be open with a limited menu. 3 p.m., the Smoky Jennings Pavilion will be open for beverages and fish. 5:45, the official fair opening ceremony begins at the grandstands. And at 6 p.m., the Twilight Harness Race will follow the opening ceremonies. Also at 6 p.m., the Antique Tractor Parade will begin from the Carlinville Plaza to the fairgrounds north of town. Tomorrow, Wednesday at 8 a.m., all beef cattle must be on the fairgrounds for the show on Thursday. The swine judging and sheep judging also begin at 8. 3 p.m. tomorrow is the 4-H Sheep Show. 5:30, the carnival opens. 6 o'clock is the pie and cake auction tomorrow evening. And at 7 Wednesday is the Queen, Junior Miss, and Little Miss contests. Grandstand admission is $8. Children under 6 are free. And WSMI will have live coverage from this year's Macoupin County Fair from the fairgrounds in Carlinville. So for this Tuesday morning, June 25th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.